Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Monday. Hour number two, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. It is great to have you in. It's kind of a wild weekend again in the NFL. Tonight we have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the New York Giants. And, you know, watching Justin Herbert last night, I'm just thinking about all these, like, teams that have Tua, Baker Mayfield, Daniel Jones, you know, Jalen Hurts, and you're like, do we have the guy? And to watch Justin Herbert last night, quiet, humble, big, mobile, huge arm, really had to overcome a lot last night in the fourth quarter in what felt like almost a road game with so many Steelers fans.
So many Steelers. I knew some people who were at the game, so I asked them, like, is it what it looks like on TV, which is this is Heinz Field. They're like, yeah, there's a lot of Steelers fans there. I mean, obviously the terrible towel swinging around makes it a little more obvious, but
the Niners-Jags game felt 75% Niners fans down in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I mean, San Francisco, the Giants, Pittsburgh, Packers,
Blue Bloods,
yeah, Cowboys. Yeah, those are fan bases that are legendary and everywhere. Like, we went to a Steelers bar in Rome when I was over there visiting. Like, it's just. Because those are the teams you used to watch on TV, like before the ticket package, like those are the marquee games.
Yeah, that's what the country got every week.
Right.
You got a Steeler or a Packer or a Cowboy game. All right, Colin Wright, Colin Wrong, brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Order them on the app, delivery, or pick them up. Saturday, game day now, free delivery when you order through the Jersey Mike's app. Jersey Mike's be a sub above. Colin Wright, Colin Wrong, here we go.
Where Colin was right.
Blazing five, back on track. Another winning week, 3-2. I took the Steelers in the points, the Colts in the points, and the Vikings to upset Green Bay. So back-to-back winning weeks, I've gone heavy into underdogs. I already have the lines for next week, this Thanksgiving weekend, and once again, it's heavy with underdogs.
Where Colin was wrong.
Well, I called the Buffalo Bills the best NFL roster for about 2 months, and they are now circling the drain. Buffalo has become very one-dimensional. They don't run the football. Therefore, asking more of Josh Allen, who is still a young quarterback. He is now 8 picks, 14th in passer rating. His completion percentage has dropped to 65%, and they are currently the Bills, second in the AFC East. To New England.
Where Colin was right.
I said the Patriots will find themselves back in the playoffs this year. Why? Even though I have my reservations about Mac Jones and his limitations, and I still do, I said they have the best coach, the best offensive coordinator, the best offensive line in the division, the best run game, the best culture, and they'll have one of the best defenses in the NFL. And don't they? Now, it is surprising they have the best point differential because they don't throw the ball over the top. They're not wildly dynamic, but they drafted well. They've got a lot of B to B-minus wide receivers who are mostly sure-handed, and they're going to be a playoff team, like it or not. You got your year off of Belichick in the postseason. He's back.
Where Colin was wrong.
I thought Cliff Kingsbury, his first year, was over his head from a college coach to the NFL. I had my reservations in year two, and this year I picked him for fourth at 8-9. Well, they've already got their 9th win, and to go on the road in division and beat San Francisco and veteran Jimmy Garoppolo and beat Seattle and veteran Russell Wilson is a credit to Cliff Kingsbury and the Arizona Cardinals. You know what? Even with a backup quarterback, you can often come unglued and look like you're poorly coached and schemed. Arizona, without DeAndre Hopkins or Kyler Murray, looked like the better coach, better schemed, smarter, more organized team yesterday.
Where Colin was right.
Well, I said with Jalen Hurts about 3 weeks ago, you guys all want to replace him next year. Let's slow down because I watch him and he's always running free. Last 3 weeks, I mean, he had 3 rushing touchdowns yesterday and no turnovers. Last couple of weeks, he's had 5 total touchdowns. He's obviously shifty, but when you watch him play, he makes good decisions. He does not throw the ball elegantly downfield. But the Saints defense, a really good defense, was caught flat-footed, didn't have a lot of answers. He doesn't make a ton of mistakes. And Philadelphia has got all those draft picks next year. And today, I would not take a quarterback. I would rebuild the defense. Today, I'd take all three of those picks, and I'd rebuild the defense.
Where Colin was wrong.
I've always been a bigger fan of Derek Carr than most of you. And when a team is in chaos, that's when a star quarterback has to step up. But Derek Carr is not only on a three-game losing streak, the Raiders can't score with their interim coach. They've scored 16 points, 14 points, and 13 points. And during the three-game losing streak, Derek Carr has four touchdowns and four picks. Some of that is the interim coach. Some of it is chaos. Some of it is Henry Ruggs. But they are now a pop gun offense that can't move the ball.
Where Colin was right.
We said last week, the best team in the NFL that wouldn't be in the playoffs today was the Minnesota Vikings. We picked them to beat the Green Bay Packers, and we said, this team's too good not to be a playoff team. And back-to-back weeks, I've seen them dominate the Chargers and beat the Packers. By the way, Kirk Cousins, for all the criticism, early window Kirk Cousins, 4-3-1 all time in eight games against Aaron Rodgers. His passer rating currently is third best in the NFL. He had 128 passer rating. Now, he's got very good wide receivers. So does Seattle, and they can't score. So I think the Vikings feel like a playoff team to me, and they feel dynamic enough to maybe be outmanned in a playoff game or two, but still win it. We like Kirk Cousins enough to say this is a playoff team.
Where Colin was right.
The Washington Wizards are now just, what, a game or two out of first place in the Eastern Conference. That's interesting. What happened? Russell Westbrook left. For all the fanboys that love Westbrook, I always said, he's not a winning player, he's just a talented one. Westbrook went to the Lakers, where he currently not only leads LA in turnovers by 40, he leads the league in turnovers. Again, Westbrook left Oklahoma City. They got better. Not more talented, but better. Westbrook leaves Washington. They didn't get more talented. They got better. Some basketball players are wildly talented. They're just not winning basketball players. They don't make winning moves. Bradley Beal does. Magic did. D-Wade does. LeBron does. Westbrook does not. The Wizards are back. I don't remember when they were good, but they're back. Maybe from the 70s. Elvin Hayes, Wes Unseld years, but they're back. Colin right, Colin wrong. I was watching the Cowboys-Chiefs game, and kind of, you know, the narrative out there is Kansas City is back. And I got to tell you, as I watched the game, my takeaway was 3 hours after it started, Kansas City was at home, won the turnover battle. Dallas was injury-plagued. Dak had no time to throw. And with 4.5 minutes left, Dallas was in the game. So the Chiefs' defense is absolutely, unequivocally dialed in. Chris Jones is back. He's playing the right position. But something is not right with that Kansas City offense. And, you know, I was thinking about this. You know, when you watch New England play, they just kind of, they're not dynamic, but they kind of suffocate you. And then by the middle of the third quarter, you're so frustrated offensively, you're out of pellets. You know, the Patriots have that boa constrictor feel where they just kind of squeeze you and squeeze you and squeeze you. Middle of the third quarter, you've shown them everything and you can't move the ball. It's different. The Chiefs will, you know, they give you the bee sting. It's shocking. It hurts. It's wild. You're in pain. But like 3 hours later, you're over it and you're going on with your day. I watch them and they really let people stay in the game. When their first three drives were touchdown, field goal, touchdown, and you're thinking to yourself, this is 35-6. And then 3 hours later, you're like, they're allowing Dallas to stay in this game. And that's the one thing about Kansas City. So when I hear they're back, their offense isn't back. They're very good when they're schemed right, but drop passes, they're highly emotional. They're very explosive. They're over the top, but a lot of drops, a lot of emotion. They don't feel right to me. And whereas like a New England can be really methodical in the way they beat you. You feel like you're getting the same emotion, first play, last play. It's just this accounting firm. It's methodical. It's not flashy. With Kansas City, I get a lot of the greatness. I mean, Tyreek Hill is such a rare, unique American athlete, but they should have beaten Dallas far worse yesterday. 19-9, you won the turnover battle. I mean, they couldn't mount drives in Dallas. Dallas is missing their two best receivers, their two best pass rushers. If I'm Dallas today, I'm like, we hung around. We hung around for 3.5 hours, and it just, that thing felt 36-6 after 8 minutes, after the first quarter. And it wasn't. Just Kansas City is not right. Don't listen to anybody. They're still not right. Mike Silver, Drew Brees, Les Snead, GM of the Rams, is in today as well.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Saturday, there's games and then there's the game. It's the latest chapter in college football's ultimate rivalry. Number 4 Ohio State faces number 6 Michigan in the Big Noon Saturday game of the week. Coverage begins at 10 Eastern with Big Noon kickoff live from Ann Arbor. Then it's the game Saturday on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
I feel like Georgia's defense and Ohio State's offense is a great matchup. And after that, I don't really care who gets in to the playoff. Like, put Cincinnati in. But I feel like we don't have a great team. I think Georgia's defense is unbelievable. And Ohio State's offense in the last month has exploded. I think Alabama's pretty good at both. But I've never been a fan of putting non-Power 5 teams into the playoff. But in this year, I don't even think there's a third or a fourth great team or a third or a fourth great unit. Just put Cincinnati in. This game, I think, will be reasonably close. Listen, this is the best chance in about 5 years for Michigan to win this game. This is a real Michigan team that they lost to Michigan State, but outplayed them, out-time-of-controlled them. Really should have won the game. Sparty with the upset and deserved all of it. But this Michigan team is a good Michigan team. Harbaugh basically flipped on some coaches, moved off. They redid his contract. More urgency. They're playing well. With that, Mike Silver, NFL reporter for a long time now, joins us live. So it's a weird year where, I guess in college and pro, like I like so much about the Patriots, but they've got a rookie quarterback. I really like the Rams, but now they've lost their top running back and maybe their top receiver. Green Bay is excellent, but they don't have a number 2 receiver and they can't keep anybody healthy. And now Aaron Rodgers has a toe issue. I don't know who I'm going to put number 1. I am blown away by Kingsbury, Arizona, and winning on the road with Colt McCoy. I think that's fantastic. If I said to you today, best team in the league, who is it? Who is your pick?
Well, Colin, I am bringing back my 32 questions column that I used to do for Yahoo Sports and NFL.com. It'll be on Bally Sports this week. And right now, I am going to say that I would trust the Baltimore Ravens more than any of those teams. And you're right. Every presumptive number one has a bad loss that throws us. Like the Cardinals, yeah, Kyler was out, but Carolina just smoked them. And down the line, but I just trust the Ravens more. They're resilient. Obviously, Lamar has shown he can elevate in huge moments. The defense has some issues. Marcus Peters is gone. Isn't what it's been, but I also trust Don Martindale to scheme it up in big moments. And I would go with the Ravens despite their 3 defeats so far.
So if I said to you, last week I said Minnesota to me wasn't a playoff team yet. Now they would be today if we ended the season, but if I said Minnesota feels like they're too talented and too well coached, in my opinion, not to be a playoff team. If I said to you, give me a couple of teams that we view as kind of mediocre that you think could burst into the playoffs, who would they be, Mike?
Well, you know, it changes every week, but you wonder, because since we don't see a super team, you wonder, is someone just going to peak at the right time and we don't see it coming yet? You know, the Chargers got a lot of people's attention last night, but I would look at the Niners, who 2 weeks ago lost to Colt McCoy and looked hopeless and suddenly rose up against the Rams and then just, you know, snuffed out the Jags like they should. And I would look at the Colts, who I've been very skeptical about, but, you know, they're 6-5. They just went in and destroyed the Bills in Buffalo. They've had some close losses, and, you know, they can obviously run the ball with Jonathan Taylor. And I wonder about the Colts. You know, Carson Wentz has not been awesome, but maybe with that running game, they could just be the kind of balanced team that sneaks up on people.
I said this earlier with Justin Herbert. I'm always impressed with people who have gifts but use them with discretion. He's a big kid that could run over people, but he always slides early. He's got a huge arm, but is very content underneath. I said he's Andrew Luck, but makes better football choices. That's what I feel like I'm watching. A Pac-12 kid, big size, moves. But I always felt Andrew was a little reckless, and Herbert never is. When you see Herbert, are we looking at, in the last 2 or 3 years, is this the kid? Is this the young, not Josh Allen, maybe not Lamar, whoever, not Kyler? Is it her? What do you see and hear about Herbert?
I mean, look, you're right about all of that. You know, and I think of the guys like him, like Josh Allen, Ben, Cam. You know, those big guys, they all were more reckless at this stage of their career.
Yep.
And, you know, maybe Josh Allen had to be in his situation. But, you know, when he needs to go, and we saw last night, he can go. And when he needs to let it fly, he can let it fly. He seems to have a great temperament. And obviously, a lot of people are caught off guard by this. As high as he went in the draft, there are many people who did not see this coming. People who watch the Pac-12 closely like me didn't see it coming. And most significant, the Miami Dolphins didn't see it coming because they took Tua over Justin Herbert. And, yeah, no, they don't think about that much. Like, maybe a 45-second period goes by in any given day where the powers that be in Miami don't think, you know, we could have had Justin Herbert, but we took Tua. And look, I would just say this way, Colin, if you could draft a new team from scratch and take anyone as is, you know, probably Mahomes would go one, and Lamar and Herbert would be probably the two guys next in that conversation. And I could see Herbert going two. And I'll tell you this, Brandon Staley would take them one, and they have a chance to do something really, really special.
You know, the other team in town, it's interesting. So the Rams have a bye week. Now they go to Green Bay, and we said this, you know, when Stafford came over, the one thing that shocked me is the Vegas line didn't move. The Lions didn't suddenly plummet. They were 5 wins with him, 5 without. The Rams were a 10-win team, according to Vegas, with Goff, 10.5 with Stafford. What do you make of the move? Because he's had a couple of stinkers in a row. What do you make of Stafford?
I mean, there have been a couple of moments where he looked like Carson Wentz at his worst, and then there have obviously been moments where he looked like Brett Favre, and I think, you know, people probably overreact on both sides. But let's go back to what you said. You know, they gave up a lot to get him, and part of what they gave up was, we can't have Goff's contract if we do this. And we're not going to get someone to just take it off our hands. So we're going to give you even more to do that for us. And okay, Sean McVay felt that strongly. They had that conviction and they went for it. But, you know, last year they were 7-3 at this stage, which is what they are now. They're going in to play the Packers at Lambeau Sunday. You know, they lost to the Packers in the playoffs last year. Jared Goff in the cold with a bad thumb, coming off a week on no reps where he came in and won a playoff game in Seattle. And remember, you know, if Sean McVay and Jared Goff were broken at the end, they also won a conference championship game together in New Orleans, down 13-0 in a cacophonous stadium, and did some pretty cool things. So
yeah,
it can't be a push. It can't be, well, it seems a little better with Stafford. It has to be, wow, they couldn't really get over that hump with Goff, but with Stafford, they can and will. And anything short of that, you go, they gave up a lot. And by the way, they mortgaged the farm, you know, constantly, Von Miller, Odell Beckham, and all down the line. And I'm happy for Sean that he's got a guy that completes his sentences and vice versa. But the standard is very exacting. And if they go to 7-4, I think we're all going to be looking at it going, was that the right move?
Yeah, no, it's fair, Mike. Mike Silver joining us. You know, it's interesting. I always said this about Baker Mayfield. I'm not going to blame him for this week. The kid's falling apart. Heel, knee. But it does bother me that they won. That's all that counts in this league. He didn't play poorly, which is a great opportunity to go to a podium and say, I was terrible. Look what my team did. And he bailed. And he wouldn't talk to anybody. I mean, your takeaway on kind of what's happening currently in Cleveland, because from my view, it does feel like it's melting a little bit right now.
I mean, I love Baker's edge and his defiance, and that got him to where he is. But I've been very critical of, you know, his decisions from the start. And he went out of his way to try to humiliate his former head coach, Hugh Jackson, for reasons that apparently are personal to Baker, because, you know, Hugh was in the dark about them, but, you know, showing him up on the sidelines later that season, calling him fake, and nobody in that organization checked him. It was kind of like, hey, man, ha, 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 Hugh got fired, and now Baker's going to show him up. And I always said, imagine if Lamar Jackson had done that to John Harbaugh, the optics. And for some reason, it was cool because I guess Hugh lost a lot and people were in love with Baker. But do they have control organizationally? I feel like if in other organizations, like if Patrick Mahomes wanted to blow off the podium, that probably someone would go to him and go, dude, just answer a few questions. It's better. You know, I feel like Lamar Jackson, that would happen. Josh Allen. I just don't think anyone in Cleveland has ever really told Baker, this is how we do things and this is the way it is. And, you know, up until the point where they basically hired Freddie Kitchens, in my opinion, at that moment, thinking that's what we need for Baker. Now, it's changed since then. John Dorsey's gone. Andrew Berry's there. I think it's a much better administration. But I agree. I would have liked to see him go to the podium. But I also agree that I'm giving him a pass. He is toughing it out, and I like the fact that he did win and do what it took to win.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to beat up on him for his performance. They beat the Lions. And you know what? In Cleveland, wins have been rare, so just accept them. They're diamonds, and there you go. All right, we got to run. We got things going on today. Mike Silver, great seeing you again.
Thanks, Colin. I appreciate it.
His Cal Bears, by the way, blew out Stanford. Stanford's melting down. USC's melting down. You live out west, our college football right now. Oregon melted down. It's a little dubious. Joey with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, you guys might be being nice to Baker right now, you and Mike, but I don't know if Cleveland necessarily agrees with you.
Let me hear.
All right, well, the Browns did escape with a 13-10 victory against the winless Lions, and Baker struggled. He's battling through some injuries. 176 yards, a touchdown, and two interceptions.
Yeah.
After the game, he refused to speak with the media.
Okay.
But he talked this morning, and he talked about why he made that decision.
Yeah, I was frustrated, among other things. I've never dodged any questions or hid away from that. So it's not about that. Just frustrated. Removed emotions and all that from it. Just decided it was best to wait. I'd be the first to tell you I played like shit, so it's not about accountable, and I don't owe you guys any of that. I owe that to my teammates, and I talk to them, so that's what matters.
That's just who he is.
Saucy.
We got to come to. I mean, if Peyton Manning or Brady would they Russell Wilson talk like that? No, of course.
Oh, but if they did, they're Peyton Manning, Russell Wilson, and Tom Brady.
I don't owe you anything.
Dude, what do those three men have in common?
Yeah, they're winners. Yeah, rings. Yeah.
They're much bigger than this.
Baker's always got to make you know that he's in control. I will tell this team when I play.
Look, I've been a huge Baker defender, despite the fact that my voice is the first voice you hear on his hater video this year.
Yeah.
I have defended Baker a lot. And I do think in some ways, what gets you somewhere can also get you out of there. Like your chip on the shoulder mentality can propel you to incredible heights. I think most successful people actually have that little voice.
Yeah.
But the way you manage that little voice is remind that little voice that we're not that little person that created that little voice anymore. Right. So yes, you can have the anxiety of, well, I don't want to be what I was before, so I don't want to fail. But you can't allow that to take over your entire personality.
Yeah.
And I mean, let's be honest, all that Baker has accomplished in his career is winning one playoff game.
Well, and also what's happening here, what's really happening is that the Cleveland media.
Well, yes.
They've turned on him.
Well, look, you can't skip out on the media. Like, you can't do it. It's part of your job. I am not a media apologist. We're nerds. I don't care. I talk about what other people do for a living. That's what I get paid to do.
Yeah.
So I don't care if you, like, I'm not some media apologist, some stuffy, like, keeper of history or something. But it's part of the job. Like, it's part of the job. And if you're the starting quarterback of an NFL franchise, you have to talk to the media. Take a deep breath. Take however long you need to get yourself not emotional and go answer some basic questions and give them basic answers. Like, you don't have to go out there and be wax poetic, but just answer a couple questions and then keep it moving. As Mike said, it's better that you talk to the media than you don't. And especially when you're talking about local media, those guys have jobs to do. Like, they have columns to write. Everybody shakes everybody's hand. They were defending you before.
Yeah.
So now you don't want to talk to them and you don't owe anybody.
Oh, God.
Okay. Well, Dustin Fox, we've had him on the show before with ESPN. Baker is a 92.3 The Fan. He is supposed to have a very long show in Cleveland. Baker is tough, but as I said all week, he had no business playing in this game, regardless of the outcome. Zach Johnson, Browns writer for The Athletic. I've seen some stuff. I don't ever recall a quarterback bailing on his post-game interview obligations. I remember the night Tim Couch should not have talked after the concussion, but I don't remember anyone just not doing it. Anthony Lima, also of The Fan in Cleveland. Reading tea leaves, it just seems like the Browns and Baker are headed for a divorce. Always assumed he'd be back for next year, but this org, which didn't draft him, may not want to squander a window, and Baker's camp may not love the team's not commitment and lack of an offer. Well, and then Garrett Bush talks about his family obviously posting that. He said, Baker skips speaking to the media, doesn't speak to teammates. Family member calls out the whole team and questions their toughness. Now he has a free pass to play pad and doesn't play bad and doesn't have to be accountable to face reporters. Guess the word diva is only used to describe wide receivers. Hashtag hypocrisy, hashtag Browns. His wife, Emily, reposted an Instagram story defending Baker. She deleted it, but it said, no one better say anything bad about Baker Mayfield after this game. I don't think I've seen this toughness in a while. Maybe the rest of their team should take a hint and get tougher.
A lot of conflict. Always even in that little press conference, he had to create conflict. I don't owe you anything. Your franchise quarterback. You, by the way, you know Stefanski and Andrew Berry are going to hear that and watch that. And they're saying the same thing. Can we have a press conference when you're not taunting or being obnoxious and you just answer some questions? Everything's a conflict.
I like a variation of personalities in sports. I don't need everybody to fit into a box. But I do agree with you in the sense when it comes to quarterbacks, it's just better to take the high road. And if that's your path in life, like you've chosen to be a quarterback, you know there's certain things you're going to have to do. Eat it when you lose. Talk to the media. Be the face of an organization so you have to move differently in the world.
Buy your offensive lineman huge Christmas presents.
Spend a lot of money at Christmas on your offensive line.
Yeah.
And take the high road. You just do. We call it quarterback speak for a reason.
Yeah.
Because it just makes everything better.
Yes.
It doesn't, and whatever we, the media, think about this, like, it's not just us. Like, fans hear this too. There's an attitude to it.
Lubricate, don't agitate. Just make things work.
Miles Garrett talked the other day, right? He didn't like the adjustments. Yeah. It was a story for like 35 seconds. Because he's not the quarterback.
That's right.
It's just different.
And he's a bigger star at his position, but when quarterbacks talk, it's just flammable.
So the Texans haven't won a game since week one, but they snapped their 8-game losing streak. Welcome to the NFL in 2021. They beat the AFC leading Titans. Tennessee outgained Houston 420 yards to 190 yards on offense. And the defense picked off Tannehill four times and kept Tennessee out of the end zone until late in the third quarter and won 22-13. Ryan Tannehill was 35 of 52 for 323 yards, one touchdown and four interceptions.
You know, they're not very good, and they're rebuilding. But I've said this about Tyrod Taylor, is he's a grown-up. He's not going to make a lot of mistakes. They don't have a very good roster, but they've been in several games. And I know I shouldn't say I'm shocked, but I'm not shocked that on a cruddy weather day, they pushed back and made a game really close. It doesn't shock me.
Look, I think everyone thought Tennessee was going to win this game easily, myself included. But nothing surprises me anymore.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I'm watching parts of this game. I'm like, they just came to play today, and that's it. Like, we have to remember these guys
and
are pros.
And then they got ahead, and you can't use your running game. And Tannehill now has to throw on third and long.
There's no Derrick Henry.
You're getting pressure on Tannehill, and it's like, this is the way the league works.
Well, Aaron Rodgers didn't practice much leading up to this game against the Vikings because of a toe injury. He still played well, 385 yards and 4 touchdowns.
I thought he played great considering all their injuries.
Yes, and he is also injured. And Minnesota got the 34-31 win on a last-second field goal. But Rodgers said he is preparing to feel even more pain from his injury over the next week.
I'm just going to have to get through the bye and hope I can get some healing over the bye week. Probably the same schedule next week. I was in a lot of pain, went in at halftime early to get it checked out. It's very, very painful. Got stepped on in the first half, and that kind of activated all the symptoms I was having. So it's going to be another painful week next week, and then hopefully start to feel a little better in the bye.
By the way, I got to give Aaron Rodgers credit. I thought he played great. He was missing his left tackle. Then the backup got hurt. Missing his top linebacker, his top corner, his top tight end's out for the year, his top running back, the number two receiver got hurt, and I don't have the numbers in front of me. I thought Aaron played great.
He's obviously playing through a terrible injury, but that's the difference between Aaron Rodgers and Baker Mayfield.
Or Aaron Rodgers and Ryan Tannehill.
Still throws four touchdowns.
I thought Aaron Rodgers is what a franchise quarterback is. He is missing. He's on his third left tackle. He's on his second running back. He lost his Pro Bowl center in the offseason. He just lost his top tight end. Their defense is still good despite Za'Darius Smith and Jaire Alexander out. You would have never known that he was playing with backups, and a third of the Packers starters were backups.
And as he's saying, extremely injured. Like, I'm sure he would prefer to take next week off because they host the Rams before going into their bye, but we saw what happened with Jordan Love, so he can't afford to take off.
You would have no idea they are decimated with injuries. And I like Dak, but Dak's missing a left tackle and a couple of receivers. The offense didn't look the same. If they would have been blown out 35-10, you'd be like, oh, I totally get it. You're on a third string left tackle. There's no Aaron Jones. There's no tight end. I mean, that Aaron defined what a franchise guy is. I mean, look at all the problems Russell Wilson's having with some schemes. I mean, Aaron was great, and there was every reason for them to get crushed yesterday. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
Well, I went down a rundown of Green Bay's injuries. And I'm not just talking missing players, like missing stars. Running back, tight end, left tackle, linebacker, best corner, all out. That was an impressive loss.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look no further for the next big thinker, first-in-class technology, a leader in innovation, Mercedes-Benz. The new 2021 Mercedes-Benz GLE, Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. All right, so we have a new spring football league. For years and years, I've talked about this, is that as a sportscaster, there's been a lot of attempts at new leagues. The UFC, there was a lot of doubters when the UFC came out. I used to work at another sports company. And 15 years ago, I went to that sports company and I said, there's this thing called UFC. My buddies in LA and Vegas love it. And all you guys who sit and watch Boston Red Sox games in Connecticut, you better embrace this thing because people love it. And now 15 years later, you look at the UFC and you think, oh, it's been around forever. They had a real fight on their hands. They got thrown off cable for a while. So very rarely do we introduce something, because we all have our habits, right, in our teams. But I have been on this now. I've been telling people this. When the MLS came up, I've tried to invest in it twice. And I said, the MLS, I grew up with the NASL. A soccer league, as we get better in soccer, is going to work. Well, now we look at the MLS. It's been around and doing very, very well. There are academies. The stadiums are packed. So the two things very early, I'm like, those are new and they're going to work. The third one has always been spring football. I'm like, spring football is going to work in America. How do I know that? Because the minute the NFL ends for about 10 weeks, there's a massive gap for sportscasters. We're dying for stuff to talk about. And so the XFL got created, remember that, with Vince McMahon and Fox and everything, and it was getting 2 million viewers or close to it per game. It was crushing hockey and beating NBA and beating some regular season baseball. And then COVID hit, and you just that unraveled a lot of new businesses. So now spring football is back. The new USFL, this is a league, an independent football league, that's going to be controlled by Fox Sports. Now, it's going to use NFL rules, okay? Tweak them, but NFL rules, focusing on young talent. They just named Mike Pereira the head of officiating. They just named Daryl Moose Johnson, the Cowboys, three rings, director of football operations. So we have grown-ups running this league. It's well-capitalized, and today we're going to announce the two divisions and the eight teams in the new USFL. So let's start, Joy, with the Northern Division. All right. In the Northern Division, there's the Michigan Panthers. I know people love uniforms and logos, so I have not seen any of these. Next up, this is a familiar name, the New Jersey Generals. I think we had a former president that was part of that. The next one is the Philadelphia Stars. And then rounding out the Northern Division, the Pittsburgh Maulers.
Yay!
There you go. So that is the Northern Division of the new USFL, a spring football league. So NFL ends a week later. You got 8 to 10 weeks.
10-game schedule.
10-game schedule of professional football. Going to focus on a lot of young players, just like the XFL did before COVID hit. So now let's go to the Southern Division. So the Birmingham Stallions, the Houston Gamblers, the New Orleans Breakers, and the Tampa Bay Bandits. Some of these names may be familiar to you. And this is a kind of a fun, high quality, very young players, NFL rules mostly. Mike Pereira now the head of officiating. And I've told you this before. When UFC came, I said, it's going to work. I have too many friends that are into it. And boxing opened the door because it wasn't terribly well run at the time. And the MLS, I knew it was going to work because I was watching World Cup ratings, especially when the U.S. played. And I strongly believe spring football is going to work in America. There's two other reasons. Gambling now is legal. And by the time we're playing these football games in February, we may have 25 states legal gambling. Yeah. We like gambling on our football. Secondarily, football works in America. College football gets a number. NFL gets a number. Some FCS stuff gets a number. There you go.
Well, I'm very excited about it. I might be biased, but I think the Pittsburgh Maulers is the best logo. And yeah, this is awesome. And I say all the time, like any sports, live sports that you can put on television, it's the last thing that you watch live on TV. Everything else is pre-recorded. You have to be in front of your television. You got to watch it live. So it works. And it gives more opportunities and more jobs, and I'm all for that. So all the eight teams are going to play in one host city in 2022, and they'll each play a 10-game schedule, and then they'll have semifinals between the top two teams in the division and then a championship game between the division winners, and the game's going to be played on Saturdays and Sundays.
Well, I mean, just think of the talent in the NFL. Did you watch Austin Eckler last night? Go look where he went to college. The best defensive back in the sport, in the NFL right now, maybe C.J. Jackson, undrafted.
Well, PJ Walker's been a great story for the XFL. Like, there's a lot of talent out there. A lot of the league is undrafted. So you're going to have high quality players run well and more football, which we all love.
Remember the G League came out and a lot of people rolled their eyes at the G League. And I think Birdman was the first G League call up. I forget. He may have been to Miami. I forget where it was. Well, now regularly in the NBA, in the middle of a season, you'll get multiple G League guys called up. And now it's a six-figure job. Like they've it used to be called the D League and then Gatorade sponsored it and they call it the G League. Well, now it's a fundamentally strong option for kids that don't want to go to college. So the world's expanding. We got more great athletes, spring football, the USFL, new independent league. Hour three next.